Okay, sir, can you state your full name and AEC number for the record?
Francisco Carrillo, DOC number 141543.
Thank you, sir. And good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
You know, we're gonna have to hold on 1 second. I just realized we don't have our parole officer in the room yet, and that is a matter of protocol for the board. For the parole officer to be present, so just give us a second.
Is he out there? I can go get him.
I'm just making sure.
Thanks for your observation, sir.
Yeah, that's what I was... Wouldn't have noticed that either.
And also, we don't have a hat. We get so...
I'd like to introduce...
So used to doing that. I've learned to look over that direction just before I say the name, and I haven't made as many mistakes.
So, yeah, so we'll change it every day.
We just came out of several parades where it wasn't necessary for me to be here.
Yeah.
Perhaps I should go off the record then, because we are on record. Do you want to make an announcement?
Yeah.
At the moment, we are on hold. We're waiting for Mr. Westby to return to the boardroom. As soon as he returns, we will begin. So we'll go on, we'll continue on hold. We'll be on recess. I'm gonna call it recess for the next 2 or 3 minutes. So at least that's hold on, sir.
Okay, let's try this. Let's try this again, Mr. Carrillo. Can you state your full name and AEC number for the record?
Francisco Carrillo, DOC number 141543.
Thank you. You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on June 14th, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you. See no lawyer with you, or are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. If you can see on the video conference screen, I'll begin with me because I'm the individual sitting closest to you on the screen, but my name is Louis Quinones and I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. At the center of the bench is our esteemed Board Chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. After him is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. And on the opposite end of the bench, we have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. Also present in the room is our Community Corrections Officer, Mr. Westby, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Okay.
Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, Mr. Carrillo and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Carrillo, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. And keep in mind there's a separate motion that passes from phase one to phase two, so don't be alarmed at that stage of the hearing if it sounds like the hearing's coming to an end. When I read the allegation to you, you need to respond whether it is true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and we can talk about it. But keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse, their criminal words or company as follows. Violation of condition number two, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report to MRC on or about April 18th, 2018, as verbally directed on April 17th, 2018, you were actively avoiding supervision. Mr. Carrillo, is this true or false?
It's true.
Thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Carrillo's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Sworn second, seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, Mr. Carrillo, we're going to continue with the second phase of the hearing, and it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Westby, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information regarding your case. If you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Westby.
On January 2nd, 2018, Mr. Carrillo was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested May 27th, 2018 by Phoenix PD. There were no new charges. He was back in DOC custody May 27th, 2018 with an adjusted community supervision end date of August 12th, 2018, 40 days. Prior conviction, 2014, burglary, second degree, 3.5 years. Prior convictions, 1999, robbery, 1 year. 2002, unlawful use of means of transportation, 1.5 years. 2003, theft means of transportation, 6.5 years. 2010, armed robbery, 5 years. This is his fifth term in DOC. CUIR score 4.4, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 1. STG gang information notes, he's an admitted member of the Southside Posse criminal street gang. Prior term of supervision, 1999. DIS release of absconder, 110 days, revoked by the BOEC. 2008, DIS release of absconder, 18 days, reinstated by the BOEC, completed 2 months. His disciplinary violations are significant and lengthy, with drugs, alcohol, extortion, violence, and weapons noted. Other arrest, 1992. Possessed cell marijuana, Arizona juvenile probation. 1992, burglary, second degree, Arizona juvenile probation. 1992, theft, Arizona juvenile probation. 1993, burglary, juvenile probation. 1993, theft of vehicle, juvenile probation. 1993, threatening and intimidating, Arizona juvenile probation. 1993, criminal damage, Arizona juvenile probation. 2003, assault, Arizona, juvenile probation. 2009, burglary, second degree, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. His community risk score is a G5D6.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Back to you, Mr. Carrillo. I want to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. Just 1 second.
Okay.
According to your case supervision summary, you were released from the Department of Corrections with an approved residence with your grandmother, Ms.
Yes.
Ramirez, at 2144 West Broadway Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. Is that the only place that you lived when you were outside of prison?
Yes, sir.
We have employment notes that you were employed at Steel Masters, 4002 South 16th Street in Phoenix.
Yes, sir.
Did you maintain that employment?
Yeah, well, I still have the job there, but my parole officer recommended that I go for a week to, I guess, some type of rehabilitation center, which I didn't show up because of my little problems that I was going through, but since I turned myself in, I've been thinking about like leaving the past behind, moving forward. So this is, here I am now.
Well, I will ask you with respect, because it's good that you were working, what were you doing for Steel Masters?
Just general labor.
And was any of the negative influence at Steel Masters? Because that's sometimes the problem. Is hanging around with the same folks?
No, it wasn't. No, I made my own choice and decided not to go and check into the rehabilitation center for a week. You know, I can't say nothing about that, but I realized that made a mistake. I tried to complete parole, you know, I really did want to complete it. And here I am. You know, I got a month left. I'm pretty sure I'm over 100%. I don't know how you guys calculate the time, but I feel like I'm ready, you know, to go back out to society and get myself together, you know. But if not, you know, it's all up to you guys, you know. Whatever the past is, the past. Like, I'm looking forward. I'm not even trying to think about all the negative.
Well, that's a good attitude.
Behind you.
That's a good attitude, and I'll keep it positive. It sounded like you might have been having some drug issues. Is that what happened?
Well, I mean, I can't really say that. I was kind of, like, I recently got married in January, so, you know, I was going through a little bit of marital problems, but, I mean, we make mistakes, and, you know, I kind of had like I don't know, anxiety attack, I guess you could say. But yeah, I didn't show up to where I was supposed to show up. I have shouted from there on. But like I said, I tried to complete it, and I realized I made a mistake. And I haven't had any dirty ways, and I was paying my parole fees. I was trying, you know, I did get a job. And so, you know, that's the best I can say, you know. But if you guys feel that, you know, I'm ready to get back out, you know.
Well, sir, I may have read this wrong, and I'll get into the sanctions note in a section. I'll get into the sanctions note in a section.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I can't speak today. I will get into the sanctions note here in a second, but I may have misread that when I read the allegation, because it said that for failing to report to MRC, so I wasn't sure if it was for drug rehabilitation. Was it for anger management, or...?
I'm not too sure what it was for. I guess it was just some type of discipline for some reason, I guess, my parole officer put on me, so
well,
he felt that. No, I guess he felt that I was, I guess, how do you say it, like, into the terms of relapsing. You know, I guess he probably felt in his heart that I was moving towards that lifestyle I was living, but I did, you know, drop you away and show him I never had a negative result. So maybe in his heart he felt like I was, you know, falling back into the relapse type of style. So that's probably why he sent me there. But I'm not really too sure. You know, I'm not too sure. I just know that I didn't show up. I realized I violated, so I turned myself in. You know, I wanted to get this over.
Well, certainly we have some notes that you had several tests that were negative. I have some sanctions notes.
That's what I'm thinking, that he probably thought I was relapsing, starting to do drugs, and, you know, so that's the only thing I could think of, he probably, because he did want to save me and keep me on parole. He didn't, and that came straight from the supervisor from the parole office on 16th Street, and I guess it's Grant. So they recommended that I go there. They didn't want to violate me.
Well, let me ask you this.
Me not showing up, that's, you know, they had no choice but to violate me. So like I said, that's why I turned myself in after 40 days out, you know.
Without getting too personal, were you able to maintain a relationship with your wife?
Well, I'm hoping we can, you know, get that situated, but as of now, I'm not too sure how she's feeling. I mean, because she said if I go back, she was not wanting to, you know, basically she's done with all this, you know. So here I am, getting 40 years old, and I'm, you know, back and forth in prison. You know, I haven't really even started my life out there, you know, for the mistakes I've made, in, you know, back since I was a juvenile. But, the only thing I can say, there's hope. You know, I'm willing to, you know, get myself together because I, you know, I do love her. She is my wife. We made a commitment. So it's just, basically it's up to her. You know, it's out of my hands. The only thing I can do is just get myself out there and get myself a job. You know, and just do right, you know. Just do right in life. As of now, I'm here just, in my eyes, I'm basically just wasting time, sitting in a cell, just waiting for, you know, the day to come.
Okay, so I'm going to...
In my heart, the sooner the better.
I'm going to make a review of this, I'm going to make a review of the sanctions notice, because I think it speaks to the heart of why your parole ended up in MRC. But it looks like in March 21st, 2018, your parole officer received a call from Stephanie Carrillo. She stated that...
That was during the time that we were going to our little marital problems, you know.
Okay. She stated that you assaulted her.
That's what she says, but I did. I never, you know, even been arrested for no type of...
Did she get an order of protection?
Yes, she did. As of now, there is one. But, you know, like, with my wife, we've been together since, like, 2008. And there's been times where we've gotten arguments, but there was no ever physical abuse in our relationship. You know, I can honestly say that. So, I mean, she's done this in the past where she's left and then she comes back into my life and, you know, I love her and so I accept it back, you know. But, you know, I want to be able to, like, resolve this too, you know, also to figure out, you know, if we're able to still make it, you know. Because, I mean, like I said, we made a commitment, you know, and it's recently we got married in January, you know. So, as of now, I got to think of myself. I got to get on with my life and move, you know, do the best that I can do for myself. So, regardless of whatever decision she makes, she might just be mad in the moment, you know. So, we'll see what happens.
Okay, so there's also some police notes regarding drug paraphernalia. So, what happened with that?
Drug paraphernalia, I don't know about any type of drug paraphernalia. I was never in possession of any type of drug paraphernalia. All I know is that we got, me and my brother, we got stopped. They booked my brother for DUI. They released me. I was never booked into the 4th Avenue Jail for any types of paraphernalia.
Okay, so what were you doing for the 40 days that you were missing from community supervision?
You know, I was out there, you know, working part-time with my brother. I mean, I don't have proof of that, but, you know, I was trying to better myself, but, you know, temptation gets the best of us, you know. So, I made a mistake. Like I said, I can't turn back with, you know, with the mistakes I've made, you know. But now I got a little time to think over and, you know, I gotta get my shit straight. And that's it. Plain and simple.
Why did you break up contact with your parole officer?
Why did I?
Yes, sir.
Like I said, I was going through a little bit of marital problems. You know, I was going through some stress.
Well, thank you for being direct. I'm going to ask my fellow board members, do they have any questions for me? I don't have any questions from fellow board members. Mr. Carrillo, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you'd like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel is important to share?
I appreciate your guys' time. That's all. I'm hearing me out.
Thank you, Mr. Carrillo. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes. So, if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is an unfortunate case in as much that it sounded like that Mr. Carrillo's parole officer was working with him. It sounded like Mr. Carrillo was working for Steel Masters and working on a relationship. It sounds like that he got into some conflict with his new wife. He was recommended to the Maricopa, is it Reentry Center? Am I having a,
yes.
He was referred to the Maricopa Reentry Center. He didn't show up. And then he absconded for 40 days from his community supervision. With only frankly, I guess he has exactly 1 month left. I'm not seeing him as a suitable candidate for returning him to community supervision. It is just a matter of weeks before he returns, and I think he might be best served taking advantage of these last days to put together a plan for his return to the community, hopefully settle some issues with his wife, and come back to the community productive. As he stated, he's ready to put this behind him, and I hope that's what he does, but I'm open to the input of my colleagues. Therefore, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2018-W1200, our discussion with Mr. Carrillo, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Carrillo is delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision and had lapses or was about to lapse in the criminal management company, in as much as he absconded for 30 days and we could not monitor his transition back to the community. And that is my motion.
Second.
Agree. Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Carrillo.
Yes, sir.
Your supervision has been revoked and you will be released on or about August 12, 2018, and I'm happy to tell you that's next month, just almost exactly 1 month away. So take advantage of these last days, as you may have heard us discuss, to put together a plan for your return to the community. We do wish you the best on reconciling your relationship with your wife, and we hope you continue to be productive. You said your job's waiting for you when you come out. So we hope not to see you again in Orange before this board. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and Mr. Carrillo, we'd appreciate it if you'd give the phone to your CO3. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.